jump.
Ah, yes, yes. Thursday morning, Taz Lewis with you right here, CBS Sports Radio, as we come to you live from the Rocky Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocky Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. You've got Shep, Mike, Pete across the way. Andrew with your updates to 9 a.m. Eastern time. We go 3 hours to take you on your journey. Sirius at XM 206, the app as well. And the number to call, 855-212-4227. What's going on, Taz? How you doing, bud?
Good. Looking forward to Roos. Later on, we got Aaron Murray on. Talk a little college football and CBS Sports college football analyst. So that should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it'll be he's a good spot. And he was in the AAF, right, for a little bit. Was he in the AAF?
Yes,
I thought he was.
I think he was, yeah.
I think he was in the AAF.
He was AAF.
Yeah, we'll chat with the former Georgia Bulldog star, now current analyst, as you just mentioned, and talk a little college football with him. So look forward to that conversation. That'll come your way in the third and final hour as we get it going a little bit. Baseball, as now the two wild card games are in the rearview mirror. We certainly discussed a lot about the Nats' comeback victory against the Milwaukee Brewers on Tuesday night, where there was a lot to get into. And, you know, last night was kind of like a yeoman regular season kind of performance by the Tampa Bay Rays as they go on the road. They jump out early. Diaz with a couple of blasts in the first three innings. The pitching was good enough. They stymied that athletic offense. The Rays go on to the 5-1 victory. Not a lot of drama. Not a play to break down, an inning to break down. I mean, it really wasn't. Pretty much, I never got the sense when when the Rays jumped out on top at one point in time, it was 4-1, Taz. I never got a sense, or 4-0. I never got a sense that the Oakland Athletics really were going to get themselves back into it.
No, I totally agree with you. I mean, for me, the best part of this game were the A's wearing those Kelly Green uniforms.
Yeah, they were great.
They're cool. I know they have a couple different throwback uniforms. Usually they wear the darker green, but yeah, no, those were cool. But otherwise, yeah, no, you're right. I mean, I guess picking wild card games is not in my future because I was wrong 2 days in a row. So
yeah, I thought the Athletics would be much better. Listen, Manaea struggled, for the Oakland Athletics. You know, only giving you two innings of work, and then you're getting into that bullpen. That athletic bullpen now has been as good this year statistically as it was last year, Taz. And you know, for the A's, once again, another very, very good regular season here for Billy Beane, where the team comes up short. Whether it be the divisional series, whether it be a wild card game. You know, they've had some dastardly losses here in the postseason in recent memory. 2015, remember, on the road, I believe it was Kansas City leading that game, and the Royals come rolling back. But last night was not the case. You got all the sense. You know, Mort was very good starting it out. You know, they got the home runs early. Manaea struggled. And then the A's offense really couldn't get themselves going in front of what was a pretty good crowd out there at the Coliseum.
Yeah, it was. It was a good crowd. And those people were dialed in. They were locked in. You could tell. I mean, it was an early start for them, too. I believe it was probably 5 p.m. Pacific. It was the game started 8 Eastern. That's 3 hours, yeah.
Yep.
So it was an early start. But those folks out there, sports fans out in the West Coast, they're kind of used to getting things going a little early. And they were primed and pumped. I mean, watching the first few innings, I'm like, wow, all right. And the Rays came out not playing around. They score. They get the home run in the first. They get a run first inning, 2 runs in the second inning, another run in the third inning, and it was like the first 2 innings, the A's were just shut out. So yeah, it was just, and then it was flat. The game was just flat all the way to the end. So it was really nothing. You're right. It just was not exciting. I don't think it was a great night for Major League Baseball. And usually wild card games would have a little bit more excitement to them. This didn't have it, unlike the night before.
Yeah, unlike the night before. But, and you're not wrong. I mean, the game didn't really grab anybody's attention or have you locked in late in the game for any kind of eighth or ninth inning dramatics, Taz. But what it did hammer home for me is, you know, just how good that Rays franchise is with the way they go about doing it. They're not spending a ton of money. They've got guys in there that know how to find young talent and develop young talent to fit the system. We know that there's not a great fan base down there in Tampa. We know that they don't play in a state-of-the-art stadium that people are kind of all jealous about. Everyone thinks the Trop down there is an absolute dump. And one of the worst baseball stadiums that are in Major League Baseball, Taz. And they find their way to be competitive every single year for the most part. I mean, they've had a little bit of a drop-off. They even lose a manager like Maddon, who goes on to the Chicago Cubs.
Right.
And
yeah.
Who do they replace him with? I mean, you got Kevin Cash now in that dugout, and Kevin Cash is a hell of a young manager. you know, a former catcher in Major League Baseball. You know, watching that game last night, I was kind of thinking about just how well-run that Rays franchise is. And maybe it's because there isn't a great fan base that they're able to go about it and do it the way that they do it, Taz. They can't be put in a position to spend a lot of money to make up for mistakes, but they don't seem to make a lot of personnel mistakes. I'm not saying every year they're going to the divisional series, but they are a competitive team more often than not.
Right. No, I agree with everything you just said. And I also think part of it might come from, obviously, over time and being in the AL East, I think, is something when you have to deal with the Yankees on a regular basis.
Yeah, good point.
I think that's something. Also, the Red Sox. I know Red Sox did not have a great squad this year, but prototypically they do. So, you know, if you're in a conference, you know, if you're in the American League East and you got to deal with a couple of teams like the New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox, yeah, of course the Orioles stunk this year and Blue Jays were not good either. But I'm just saying, having those two legacied brands like the New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox, right, that you got to play them all the time, that would definitely put some pressure on you to play well and to run your organization the right way.
Yeah, and then on the other side, Taz, you look at the Oakland Athletics, who've had a lot of great regular season success, right, and Billy Beane, and they've done just the same thing, but it almost seems like the Rays are just better at it, right?
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
their players are better at it when it comes down to pressure or October, because Oakland seems to find them, and I'm not saying every year they're in the playoffs, they're not, but they've had a pretty good run here, and they've got a good young group of players, but I never get a sense that they're going to come through when it counts the most, and last night was kind of a meek night for that lineup offensively, and just another example of a team, and we talk about playing in the wild card game, Taz. All it got Oakland was an extra 9 innings of home baseball, right? So
yeah,
they played 163.
Right.
Teams that got eliminated played 162. I understand the playoffs are the playoffs. Guys are celebrating. But, I mean, that's a massive disappointment for an Oakland team that, I'll be honest with you, I think the Houston Astros are probably smiling the fact that the Tampa Bay Rays won that game and not the Oakland Athletics, because the Athletics played the Astros very, very well during the regular season.
Oh, absolutely. So you're happy if the Rays could eliminate the Oakland A's. That kind of rhymes.
Yeah.
If you're the Astros, yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah, good point.
Yeah, and so you look at it now, this scenario here moving forward for Major League Baseball, now you got the divisional series are set. In the National League, you're going to have the Nats and you're going to have the Dodgers. You're going to have the Cardinals and Braves, which was set already. In the American League, you got the Yankees and the Twins. And now you have the other series with the Astros, the team with the best record in Major League Baseball in the American League. They're going to be taking on the Tampa Bay Rays here moving forward. And for Major League Baseball, Taz, what you hope is you get more of what you saw on Tuesday night as compared to what you saw on Wednesday night.
Yeah, and I think that's going to happen.
Quick, exciting baseball.
Correct. No, and I think it's going to happen because You know, these are all these teams that come down to this now. They're the best of the best, and I don't think no one could argue as far as the two teams that were jettisoned into the wild card out of the wild card game. They earned it. So those two teams, I think fit right in. And I'll tell you, looking at the market sizes of both of them, of all the teams, I should say, is interesting. If you look at the Yankees and the Twins, a massive market in New York, again, I wouldn't say Minnesota's a massive market. It's a little bit of a smaller market, for sure. And Houston's a very big market against Tampa Bay, which is a smaller market. You know, that's interesting. You got a lot of big market, small market. Atlanta, big market. St. Louis, small. You know what I mean? Like L.A., huge market like New York. And then you got Washington, D.C., which, the Nats play. And it's kind of like you're getting a little bit of Baltimore, Delaware, Washington, D.C., so. L.A. is obviously the bigger market, yeah. So
yeah,
in that game,
for sure.
It's interesting, those matchups.
You're right about that when you look at it, Taz, and obviously that leads you to, in terms of, the people, the Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred, the executives, Fox, that everyone wants the people watching, right?
Right.
So, I mean, is there a differentiation between what a good matchup for TV would be as compared to what a good matchup on the field would be?
Are
they one and the same?
When
you look at a World Series matchup.
I think a World Series matchup, I mean, me personally, I want to see the two best teams, fist fighting. I don't care what size market they're from. But, we talk about that a lot. And these like you just laid out, Fox, for example. Any of these big-time TV executive programmers, programming sports on television, no matter if it's ABC, ESPN, ABC, or CBS, or Fox, or what have you. Yeah, or Turner, they want the bigger markets because it's more awareness. It's a bigger reach. You're getting, you know, you want right now, if you're Fox,
you want Dodgers Yankees.
You want Dodgers Yankees. Yeah. There's no doubt about right. it. You know, and at the least, if not that, you want Houston Braves. You know what I mean? Two big markets. Atlanta's a big market, Houston's a big market, but it's not New York and L.A. So, you know.
I think they want to definitely get one of the, I mean, they'd love to get both. I mean, I think Yankees Dodgers would be an absolute dream for television sure. executives.
That might be doable, too.
Well, that might be doable, right. But I do think, Taz, if you don't get both of them, they're praying for one of them.
Yeah.
I don't think Braves Stros grabs everyone's attention. I'm not saying that they wouldn't have earned it. I'm talking about on a national audience. I don't think you're going to get people caring about that outside of those bigger marketplaces or if you cover sports for a living. I don't think Braves Astros, I don't necessarily think St. Louis Astros grabs the nation's attention. Do you know what I mean? I think the Yankees and Dodgers do.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I mean, that if you're looking at the teams, yeah, that's the matchup you want. I mean, if you're the TV broadcast, if you're the TV programmers, or if you're MLB. But I will say, I mean, Houston's like I said, it's a big market. It's a top 10 market. It's a And so is Atlanta. I agree with you. It's not the vast amount of people that'll be dialed in that you would have with Yankees Dodgers. There was no doubt about it. That's the one that they want.
Yeah, that's the one. And Taz, I don't know if you're going to get it because I do think, and you know, we both watch baseball all season long, right? I think the Astros are an overwhelming favorite to get to the World Series. I think with Verlander and with Cole, Mr. 300K. By adding what they did, by going out and adding Zach Greinke at the MLB trade deadline, with the way that lineup is, the fact that they've had postseason success, the fact that, you know, their bullpen is improved. I mean, they are a betting favorite out there in Las Vegas, Taz, and with sportsbooks around the country, whatever state they've got them opened up, like if you head over to the Garden State.
Right.
I think deservedly so. I think the Astros, who've got home field advantage, even if they didn't have it, I think with the way that staff is set up and with Verlander and Cole at the top, I think they're going to take a lot of things are going to have to go wrong for Houston to lose. I do, especially coming out of the American League. I think they're better than the Yankees, and I'm a Yankee fan.
Right, I think they're
a better baseball team than the Yankees. I'm not saying it's impossible for them to lose. All I'm saying is I would be surprised if Houston is not in the Fall Classic.
Well, they're definitely, I mean, listen, they regular season, as you know, they were 107-55. I mean, 107 wins, 55 losses. Ultra impressive. I mean, where the Yankees, if we're just, talking about that, they were 103 wins to 59 losses. So, you're not, it's not a gigantic difference there by any stretch. But I understand what you're saying, that they're pitching and with the Astros, the starters,
Do you look at Houston that way?
I do.
Yeah, I mean we're in agreement with
Houston,
that.
I do. I wouldn't, and I'm a Met fan. I know it's like I'm not supposed to root for the Yankees, but I'd rather see the Yankees advance into World Series.
Oh, so would I.
I know, you're a Yankee fan. But I mean, most people think, well, if this guy's a Met fan than me, he'd rather see the Houston Astros. I'd rather see the Yankees. I want to see Yankees Dodgers. I do want to see that.
I agree with you. Yeah. I'd love to see it. I think it would be great. East Coast, West Coast. I think, you could do a lot of things creatively sure. on TV, creatively on TV,
right,
if I could speak this morning. And there's obviously star fans on both sides. There's a lot to like in terms of that matchup, Taz. I don't know if you're going to get it. I mean, because if I asked you right now, the matchup, and I've got a little bit of a quirky one, right? But if I asked you right now, who do you think is you want to see Yankees Dodgers? I want to see Yankees Dodgers.
Yeah.
Do you think that's the series we get?
Give me a second. I do.
You think you're going to get Yankees Dodgers?
I think you're thinking more Astros Dodgers.
No, I'm thinking Astros Nats.
Oh, Astros Nats. Yeah, I don't think that.
I do like the Nats in the next series against the Dodgers for some reason. I think the Nats have kind of got this magic carpet ride. Not just that I thought they were going to win the other night. When they were trailing, I said they're going to come back and win it late. They did. Mm. I was surprised when they did because they looked like they were dead as a doornail at the time. So right. I'm not going to go pat myself on the back because I basically said to myself, this game's over. I was dead wrong.
Yeah,
how could I have been dead wrong?
Yeah,
but as I'm going to go a little something quirky, a little something different, and maybe it doesn't happen, but I'm going to go Astros-Nats in the World Series and say that the Dodgers fall a little short. Their pitching not as dominant I'd love to be wrong. I mean, I'd love to be wrong on the American League side because I want to see the Yankees get in there. I think the Astros are the deserved favorite, and I think it's going to take a lot. And I don't know if that Yankee staff is good enough in order to take down Houston, but it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, no, it will be. That's just like I said the other day. This is the best time to really lock into baseball. You know, once they get into the ALDS and NLDS, and once you start rolling with that. I mean, I love the wild card games. They're great, but they're so quick. They're in and out, boom, boom. You win, you're in. You lose, you're done. Thanks for coming. But, you know, so right now, yeah, it's definitely a great time to lock in and start following a team if you don't have a team already in it. Like me, I have no dog in the fight. But I want to say this. I would like to see, like I said, the Yankees, Dodgers in the World Series. But I will root for the Dodgers. I'm just letting you know that right now. That's just on the record right here from everybody.
So Yankees, Dodgers, and then you'd root for the Dodgers to
win the whole kick.
I got it. Yeah, well, I wouldn't.
That's what I'm. That's it.
I understand.
It just would be.
I wouldn't be surprised. Nice. That doesn't surprise me though.
Yeah. No, well,
you're a Met fan,
right? But you know, some would say, well, why would this Met fan even want the Yankees to advance in the World? Because I'd like to see the Dodgers beat them. But it's interesting. You think that you don't think that the Dodgers are getting out of that series with the Nets? So you know, we'll see.
I could be wrong.
Right. You might be right.
I could be wrong. I wouldn't bet my life on it. I wouldn't bet a significant amount of money on it either. But I think the Dodgers are clearly the best team in the National League. But I'm just going to throw something out there differently. I really like this Nat team. Maybe they need to go through all of that pain and disaster and losing Harper. I mean, it would be so ironic that the offseason where Bryce Harper decides to go to the Philadelphia Phillies, that the Washington Nationals find themselves in the World Series.
That would be funny.
Would that not be funny?
That would be funny.
Harper is, you know, enjoying the millions down in Philadelphia, watching Juan Soto and Robles and the Nats play in the Fall Classic. How about that?
That Juan Soto. Talk about a young star.
Oh,
20
God,
years old,
he's
man.
So good.
Kids Beast Mode Jones. And that NLDS and ALDS, that's five, best of five, right?
Yeah, best of five. Yeah. Correct.
And then the ALCS, NLCS.
Next two days are great. Yeah, with games getting going. You get the doubleheader today, both in the National League. Yep. Games get going at 5 o'clock in Atlanta, and Los Angeles. And then tomorrow, wall-to-wall baseball, getting going at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, all the way till basically midnight, 12:30 in the morning, East Coast time.
Awesome.
Four games.
Got you covered.
All baseball all the time.
Non-stop baseball. We got you covered right here, Taz and the Moose. You know that.
That's it. Who do you like? Does baseball need Yankees, Dodgers in the Fall Classic? Who do you like in the Fall Classic? Who do you think it makes it through? The wild card games in the rearview mirror. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Taz, Moose. We're going to break, Shep. There you go.
CBS this is 16-year MLB veteran Chase Utley, and you're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico, go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. A little baseball got us going. Certainly the wild card games, rearview mirror, as you saw. The Rays victorious over the Athletics last night out in Oakland Alameda Coliseum. With that and more, here's Bogus. What's going on, Andrew?
Taz. Pete, Mike, other Pete, here's your report is sponsored by the NFL Network. We are NFL Network, the place where football and culture collide. It's all here, all day, every day, because there's no such thing as too much football. We are the NFL Network. This keeps happening to the Oakland A's.
And the 1-2 on the way, and Marcus swings and misses. This ball game is over. The Tampa Bay Rays with a dominant performance in the wild card game, and here they come out of the dugout, and the celebration is on down there between home plate and the pitcher's mound. The A's have to taste another disappointing, frustrating defeat in the postseason.
Ken Korak on A's radio. 9 consecutive losses in winner-takes-all games. 6 of them coming at home. The A's also 1-15 with the chance to advance in the postseason since 2000. In last night's AL wildcard game at the Coliseum, they trailed immediately on Yandy Diaz's solo shutoff Sean Manaea. The lefty also allowed Avisail Garcia's two-run homer in the second, and then another Diaz solo blast in the third, and then he was done for the night. Tommy Pham went deep in the fifth, off Yusmeiro Petit, while Charlie Morton and three Rays relievers stymied the A's all night long. A team that clubbed 257 long balls during the regular season, managed just eight singles, left nine on base. Manager Bob Melvin explains.
They pitched really well.
Thanks, Bob. The Rays now head to Houston. Game one with the Astros is tomorrow. Tyler Glasnow will oppose Justin Verlander, Blake Snell, and then Morton start games two and three. We get two games today. The Braves and Cardinals in Atlanta, 5 Eastern. The Dodgers and Nationals in L.A. at 8:30. Away from the postseason, Cleveland will pick up its $17.5 million option on righty Corey Kluber, who missed most of the season with a broken arm, then an oblique strain, but they will not pick up their $16.5 million option on second baseman Jason Kipnis. There's football tonight as the Seahawks host the Rams. Vikings wide out Stephon Diggs did not practice yesterday, and not because he's hurt. The absence fueled speculation that Diggs could be, might be, maybe traded soon, but the Vikes have reportedly told an interested team they are not moving Diggs. Jaguars owner Shad Khan said last night he doesn't want to trade unhappy corner Jalen Ramsey. And Saquon Barkley made a surprise return to Giants practice yesterday. He did some running, made some cuts on his high ankle sprain. Head coach Pat Shurmur left the door open for Barkley playing this weekend, but that seems highly unlikely. Guys, hockey's back, which means he's back.
And Vrana coming down the middle. Chance on the left side. They score! Jacob Vrana on a tip puck in. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, St. Louis.
Sean Walton off and running. Jeez. On Caps Radio. Washington, a 3-2 win in OT in St. Louis after the Blues raised their Stanley Cup banner and then led 2-0 after just 8 minutes. Toronto topped Ottawa 5-3 on two goals from Austin Matthews. The Oilers beat the Canucks 3-2 and San Jose lost in Vegas 4-1. And Tennessee AD Philip Fulmer gave football coach Jeremy Pruitt the dreaded vote of confidence yesterday and then dismissed speculation he could fire Pruitt and then take over as coach. Fulmer says the coaching chapter of his life is over. The Vols are 6-10 under Pruitt heading towards Saturday's visit from Georgia. So
Pruitt should put his house up for sale.
And didn't he like curse out a cop or something this week? I mean, or talk down to somebody? I mean, what a mess.
Yes, that is
what a
disaster.
Guys, back to you.
All right. Thank you, Andrew.
Appreciate it, pal. Great job. We're talking a lot about the Rays, you know, and
well, I love the Tampa.
Yeah.
Deservedly so.
Absolutely. Let's talk to Rob. Listen on radio.com, Moose. Rob, you're on with Taz Moose. What's going on, Rob?
Taz Moose, good morning. How are you, gentlemen?
Robbie, how you doing,
what's
bud?
What's up there, Haas? What are you doing?
Good, good. Yeah, things are great down here in Florida. The Rays, Rays winning yesterday. You know, I really, you know, I'm a Tiger fan, so I'm going to be pulling for Verlander and the Astros when he got traded. That was probably one of the dark days of my baseball career, but I wouldn't sleep on the Rays due to the fact that they have one of the biggest scouts on their team, Morton. He pitched with those guys. He knows all those guys on that roster. He knows their weaknesses. You don't think he's going to be saying, hey, this guy, he can't hit a ball high and outside. Mm. He's going to – I really think this could go five games, but, you know, I'd like to maybe think that it won't. I'm going to hang up.
You think that the Rays could win it in four? You think?
No, I think if anything, it's going to go five games. It may come down to like Verlander and whatchamacallit, Morton in a game five, in a pivotal game five. But if it's in, obviously the game will be in Houston.
Yeah,
and I know Speakerphone Jones is. I don't know if he's an Astros fan, but I'm pretty sure that he's going to be pulling for the
Speakerphone Jones. Obviously. It's always nice when fans of the show shout out other fans. That's interesting,
sure.
Rob. Thank you for doing that.
Oh yeah, and the Kingsmen too. Those guys are pretty Taz and the Moosers. You know, they're respectable listeners. And Moose, I don't know why you're so down. You were so down on Speakerphone Jones getting into your fantasy football league.
Wow.
I agree with Taz that he's not a jobber. He deserves to be a part
nice.
Of the fantasy league, and the fact that he promotes everything.
He does promote
a lot. You guys are great. You know.
Well, I appreciate it, Rob.
We appreciate it, Rob.
I forget, was I that down on Speakerphone Jones being a part of the league? Was I? Don't forget.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, he's part of your family there, Mike.
Was I that down on it?
Well, I mean, you know, I talked to my son, and he was okay with everything. I guess maybe he perceived
remember.
It that
maybe
way.
I was. Well, yeah, I he's done a nice job.
I think maybe there's an overview over, like, some of the We Over Nation. I think when this show here first started, there was a little bit of a vibe that maybe you weren't crazy about some of them. That could be it. But that's okay. You're human, and I'm human. I hey, listen, I dislike a lot more people than you dislike.
So. No, I of course, I know that.
Exactly.
I don't know. if I do that, I wholeheartedly apologize. Welcome aboard, Speakerphone Jones.
Oh, sincerity, that's the key right there.
What's that?
No, sincerity, that's the key.
I'm happy him and Mike have a blessed partnership and running their fantasy team successfully.
All right.
Yeah, I might just give Speakerphone to do everything. One less thing to worry about.
Yeah, I would just hand him over the team.
Just give him my team, too.
Hand him over. He could take mine.
Yeah, we're all locked in here.
Speakerphone was texting me yesterday on trade ideas. I'm like, bro, whatever you want to do, go for it.
Take my team. You could stick it right in a toilet bowl and flush it.
You know, okay. Rob was bringing up the Rays and hopeful. And, yeah, listen, Rays are not going to be afraid of anybody. And, you know, they've got one of the great, you know, very, very talented young executives in Heim Bloom, who was one of the finalists for the Mets GM job before they went with Brody Van Wagenen last offseason. You got Neander down there as well. And, you know, the names changing, the results have remained the same. I read a report yesterday where there were some scouts that saying that if they looked at the teams that, you know, were playing on the two wild card days, they thought the most dangerous team was the Tampa Bay Rays. Based on looking at the pitching that they have, how creative they can be with that lineup, the fact that the offense or the guys in that lineup, in the everyday lineup, the quality at bats that they're going to give you. So, you know, I'd still be surprised. Listen, you know, I don't think the Rays are going to fold up the tents like a cheap suit. I don't think anything like that. I don't think they're fearful at all about going into Houston and taking on the Astros in the next series. I just think the Astros are a better baseball team. And sometimes it doesn't work out that way, Taz, The underdog ends up winning, and that's what surprises us all.
Sure.
I really would be surprised if Houston lost in the divisional round. For the Astros, that would be a disaster.
Yeah, absolutely. They're just built for distance, the Astros, and and that's what this is all about. The postseason's all about depth and distance and longevity, and I do think that's and talent, obviously. But the Astros have that, and I think the Rays will make it exciting. But no, I don't. If you're an Astros fan, you don't have to sweat the Rays. I'll sleep on them. How about that? I'm good.
Well, if you're a Rays fan, you've got nothing to lose.
No,
you know,
of
you
course.
Look at it. I mean, you know, there are teams in these playoffs where they've got little to no pressure on them whatsoever. You know, the Nats, after finally winning on Tuesday night, they're going up against the Dodgers. Are they in a pressurized spot? No. I mean, they finally won a playoff game, and you want to call it a series. I mean, it's not a series. It's a playoff game, but they advanced to the next round of the postseason, which this current franchise has not done. So, you know, the Dodgers face a fair amount of pressure because the clock is ticking on their championship window. The Yankees, of course, the pressure is inherent with the Yankees. I mean, the fan base is dying to try and get that 28th World Championship, you know, after coming off a 103-win season. The Astros have got the pressure on them. The Rays aren't a team with pressure. Nobody's expecting the Tampa Bay Rays to beat the Astros, and sometimes that does help a team perform, Taz, because they're able to go on the field. Listen, whether we get swept, if we get in back, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's not like nobody's going to show up. You know, we don't have a great – and nobody's expecting us to beat the Astros, so sometimes that does help performance when you have that kind of mindset going into a series.
Absolutely, and especially in this particular sport of what they call baseball, because it's all about being loose. Normally the looser team, looser players play well. I mean, it's a stressful game as a player when you're in a box. There's a lot of pressure on you. You're on a hill throwing a ball, and you got, you know, that's nothing but pressure. But that's why, you know, the better ball players normally are guys that can play loose, and the better skippers, managers are the guys that let players let their hair down and be loose and not play so tight. So I think you make a good point, you know, where the Tampa Bay Rays come into this thing against the Astros in the ALDS where it's like, hey, you know what? Like you just said, we got nothing to lose. Hey, no one's expecting us to beat the Astros. No problem, man. Let's just go do our thing, have fun, and battle it out. And next thing you know, that's how teams can win. I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen either.
But I get your point.
I was just kind of trying to paint a picture in terms of how it could maybe help the Rays.
I got
another team it could help, Tad, would be the Twins.
Sure. I think that's, now, that's enough with the Yankees. Sure.
I mean, going up against the Yankees. Now, the Twins have got the pressure that they never beat the Yankees.
Right, right.
You know, and they always seem to be in the way.
Right.
Right? It always seems to be the Yankees in the opening round. Whenever the Twins have a good year, who's standing in your way? Oh, it's the Yankees, again. Right, we got to go to the Bronx again.
Yep,
you know, the names have changed. The results have not changed. So they've seen this. Now it's a different group of guys, but I haven't seen anybody. I mean, literally, and I was looking places. I haven't seen anybody pick the Twins outside the Minnesota area to beat the Yankees. Everyone thinks it's a foregone conclusion the Yankees are going to win this series, but the Yankees have got the pressure.
Right.
You know, Boone, second consecutive year, 100-plus win manager. You know, he's you know, set new records as a manager here for the Yankees, which is a great accomplishment for him. But the Yankees have got all the pressure in the world. Nobody thinks the Twins are beating the Yankees.
No, I don't.
Neither do I.
And I agree with you. But you know, I kind of get the overtone of what you're saying. You got, if you're Boone and the Bronx Bombers, you got to make sure you get too cocky here. You know, and fall asleep on a team that, you know.
It's a good team.
It's a good team, yeah. And that, so that, you know, it's a, they won a lot of games. They played well. I mean, so it's like they finished first in the division for a reason, you know. So, you know, yeah, I do think you got to be careful of that. But, again, the Yankees, they're besides their pitching, their bats, they're I don't know. They're a power. They are.
They won 103. Right. They won 103 games. Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, look at the home runs. Look at the amount of home runs the Twins hit in the regular season as well. I mean, they hit a ton of home runs, too. So it's going to be fun. Doubleheader today, both in the National League as those series get going. Then you got a quadruple header on Friday. Early afternoon baseball, late morning out west, but early afternoon baseball here on the East Coast, where Taz and I do our show each and every day, and we got all four series in action on Friday. We're going to flip the script a little bit, do a little football. We got a BCS for you, Thursday edition of Bench Cut Start. That comes your way next. It's Taz and Moose on this Thursday morning. You know where you're at, CBS Sports Radio.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler, RVD. Just want to let you know, you're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Certainly is on a Thursday morning as we take you right up until 9, Taz. We got a BCS here coming your way momentarily. Did you see the Kyle Van Noy story?
Yeah, I did, actually. I heard. I know I think we have the sound. Yes, I do. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes.
Which is, you know, the whole scenario is a little bit strange, is it not?
Very.
So,
very odd. Yeah.
So Kyle Van Noy, you know, and I don't know where the, you know, the pushback is, right? But here is Kyle Van Noy. This is courtesy of 98.5 of the Sports Hub talking about a comparison made to Rodney Harrison. Take a listen.
You're doing the Rodney Harrison role on this team, which I give you credit for.
Don't compare me to him, man.
Why? That's a compliment.
I don't want to compare to that guy.
Really?
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Is there something there?
No. I'm nothing against him. I just don't want to be compared. Definitely not to him.
There you go. All right.
Yeah.
Now, that was Van Noy. Now, Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, right? And tweeted out, took that because the Sports Hub sent that out, right?
Yeah.
And said, hey, Kyle, you should get on your knees every night and pray that you'll become half the man Rodney Harrison is.
Well, that's a little much.
I mean, that's a nasty statement.
That's
right.
A little
much. And then Kyle Van Noy went back at Pro Football Talk saying, dear Mike, I'm pretty happy with the man I am, and tonight I'll pray for you instead.
That's a good comeback.
Yes, that is. And then went on to explain, I play linebacker, so compare me to Brew, Vrabes, Ninko, Willie, Mack, or Mayo. Why compare me to a safety, or why compare anyone to anyone? All love, nothing but respect for Rodney. So he tried to cut the story off at the knees. You know, he didn't add much flavor to it, but I really didn't get a sense it was a positional comparison that he was upset about when he was asked that question on 98.5. It seemed like there was something else to that, not comparing him, you know. Not
well,
so
yeah, I know.
I mean, maybe it's just me, but there seems to be something else there that Kyle Van Noy doesn't want to exactly add more fuel to the fire with.
Well, listen, let's be honest. You know, I mean, if you go back, look at history, you know, we've talked about just about Vontaze Burfict, about him being, players hate him, and now he's suspended for the rest of the year because he's a dirty player. You know, and I respect Harrison, the player he was. But, you know, you don't have an amazing rep of players. I mean, because years ago, he was known as a dirty player. He had a long history, especially when he was in San Diego. He was a dirty player. That's how they looked at him. That's how players looked at him. Correct. He has that rep. So maybe that's the reason. I don't know. It could be. Who knows? Maybe he bumped it. Maybe he met him. Maybe Rodney Harrison was cold to Van Noy. Maybe there was an odd interaction with them. Or maybe, this might sound crazy, but this could be. Maybe when he said that live on the radio, Van Noy, maybe, this could sound nuts, but that's what I thought about. Maybe he confused him with somebody else. Maybe he didn't. It could be. I mean, because otherwise it makes no sense.
I didn't get the sense that he was confused with the player he was being compared to. I didn't get that sense, Taz. Maybe it's as you hinted upon. You know, I thought maybe the very fact of the way Rodney Harrison was thought about as a player. And that wasn't to the perfect level, but wasn't that far off.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
In terms of taking shots and being very chippy and being a guy that didn't have a healthy respect for his fellow player in the National Football League at times. I think maybe that's the way that goes about. But, I mean, it could be something completely different. I mean, you know, Taz, I mean, Kyle Van Noy is still a very young man. I mean, he just had his first child, right? Opening week, he missed the game for the New England Patriots. I believe him and his wife had their first baby. Maybe it's something where it was an interaction. You know, maybe it's a case of Rodney Harrison's not well liked in that Patriot club. Maybe it's something that he said about Van Noy earlier on as being an analyst when Van Noy was not a New England Patriot. I don't know, but it seems to be more than just, hey, I'm a linebacker, he's a safety, compare me to other linebackers.
I don't believe that. that's BS. Yeah, I don't believe that when he said
that. Does not pass the smell test.
No, I feel it's probably, like I said earlier, it's probably because of the rep that Harrison had as a dirty player a little bit early on in his career. It's that, or it could be something that nobody knows about. Like I said, there could have been an odd interaction with them someplace where, you know, he was, Van Noy was pissed off at him for some reason. Who knows?
What year was Van Noy's first year? What year was he drafted?
I'll check that out. He's 28 years old now.
He's 28 years old. So if you go back, I think Rodney Harrison's last year in the NFL was 08. He was on the 07 Patriot team that lost to the Giants because he was trying to knock the ball out of David Tyree's hands on the miraculous throw. Was 08 Harrison's last year?
Well, Van Noy's first year was 2014, so there's definitely not a overlap.
Right. So Harrison's last year was 08. So you think about it, if you go all the way back to 08, that's 11 years ago. He's 29 years old, you said?
28.
So he's 17.
Mm.
Harrison's last year was 17. Kyle Van Noy.
So he was in high school.
No, he's in high school. Right.
Right.
I mean, there's a disparity there. Yeah. I mean, Taz, it's just a very strange comment. Now, Van Noy did the right thing. He cut the story off at the knees. I mean, as best he could on Twitter. And he's not going to answer any more questions about it.
No, and I understand that, but he's got to be careful. You're a public figure. You're a pro athlete. You're on a radio show as a guest, you know, which is simulcast on TV. And you say something like that, and, you know, you can't blame the host for saying, well, is there more to that? That's the host's job. Yeah, that's his job, right. So, I mean, you know, we would do the same thing here. But it's like it was a random thing. Usually you speak about former players and you respect them and their greatness and whatnot. But, and, you know, I've given Rodney Harrison a hard time, like, on social media. I mean, not directly at him. Like, I'll say something or on here because I feel like on the NBC show he's definitely loves the Patriots. He's always raising, you know, waving the Brady and Belichick flag. Lately he's backed off. Last year a little bit he backed off that a little bit. But he did come off like a homer a lot for the Pats, and I hate that. Not just because it's the Pats, just because it's just you can't do that. When you get the money these guys get as broadcasters analyzing games and standing there. But you know what? The Van Noy thing was definitely, if he's telling the truth, which I doubt he is, that, well, I'm a linebacker, this guy's a D-back, he's a safety, you shouldn't compare us. No, that's not how he said it.
Right.
He had disdain in his voice.
It didn't come across that way. And Florio's tweet was just...
Yeah, it was wrong.
Well, it's just downright nasty.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a nasty comment. All right, let's get to a little BCS.
It's now time to bench, cut, or start with Taz and the Moose.
Bench, cut, start.
All right, Taz, best team out west right now, right?
best bench cut start. 49ers, Rams, Seahawks can go a lot of different ways in this one. Jimmy G and the Niners, the Rams coming off a disastrous loss last week at home to Tampa Bay, or the Seattle Seahawks. BCS. You want to go first? Or
yeah,
you want
I'll
me?
Go first. That's okay. Fine. Whatever. NFC West. Yeah, whatever. I mean, you know, NFC West. So I'm going to bench the 49ers. I'm going to cut the Seahawks. I'm going to start the Rams. I'm going to bench the 49ers. I understand Jimmy G's playing better. I got it and all that. I'm still not completely locked into them. I'm starting the Rams because I believe in what they are and the depth of star power they have. And I like Goff as a quarterback. He just laid out how this past week it was a disaster, for sure, a shocking disaster, in their loss at home to the Bucks. But I'm all in on the Rams. I believe they are as advertised. I believe they are legit. So I'm going to definitely start them. I'm cutting the Seahawks. I mean, I don't know. There's just something not there for me with the Seahawks. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. I mean, Russell Wilson, definitely great. You know, it looks like he's having a pretty decent year already. I mean, he's a reliable star, and there's no doubt about it. What, they're 3-1 like the Rams are, I believe. So they're both 3-1, you know, as far as the Rams and the Hawks. And I don't know. I'm comfortable starting the Rams. So I'm going to bench the 49ers, cut the Seahawks, start the Los Angeles Rams.
We're sharing a brain a little bit on the starter and a little bit of differentiation. I'm going to bench the Seahawks at 3-1. You know, learn my lesson a year ago as they got better as the season goes along. That's a hell of a coaching staff. Carroll does a remarkable job. You're right about the deficiencies of the team, and certainly defensively, they're not nearly what they once were. But last year, they got better and better as the season goes along. You know, I believe that'll be the case once again this year, learning my lesson from a year ago. I'm going to cut the 49ers. Even though they're 3-0, they're coming off the bye week. Garoppolo has looked good. The Shanahan's done a nice job coaching the team. They've got the running back by committee. You know, I like some of the weapons they have offensively as well. I got to see Garoppolo stay healthy the entire year. And he's not been able to do that as an NFL quarterback. So, you know, it's hard for me to believe in San Francisco when I don't know if I believe that Jimmy G can hold up for the entire season. And I need to see a little bit more from the 49ers. And I'll start the Rams. Listen, I can't explain it. I can't explain why they got lit up the way that they did against Tampa Bay. Yeah. That defense was just dreadful. And there was no adjustment by Wade Phillips as the game did go along. Offensively, though, I mean, Goff did throw the ball well. He threw a lot, but he did throw the ball well against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I still think they're the best team out west. So I'm going to bench the Seahawks. I'm going to cut the Niners, the undefeated Niners, and start the Los Angeles Rams.
It's going to be interesting, too, to see with the Niners, as you said, coming off that bye week, and they're going to play the Browns on Monday night.
Be good game.
It'll be a good game. And they're hosting the Browns. So, you know, you got Myles Garrett there, that defensive end, rush end, outside back, whatever you want to call him, and that will put some pressure on you. So it will be a good game. See how Jimmy G plays in that game. But, you know, they've scored some points, the Niners. They have.
Yeah. They're undefeated. Yeah. All you compete is the teams that are on the schedule. You know, and we'll see, and that'll be a great game, a fun one on Monday night. Mike, what do you got?
All right, real quickly for me, starting Seattle, benching the Rams, and cutting the 49ers. I still believe that Seahawks have the best coach QB combo, and for me, the way they're playing right now, I like them to start the Seahawks.
All right, Pete, Shep, that combination. What do you got?
I'm going with you, Moose. The Rams are the team to beat until someone beats them.
All right,
I could have sworn I said that, but you can go with Moose. That's fine.
What about benching and cutting? Who do you?
It's unbelievable. I'm gonna go with Moose. And what do you bench, cut, start? There's other things here, Pete. What?
Benching the Seahawks.
Benching the Seahawks.
Cutting
We're going to have a problem during the break.
Benching
the
Seahawks, cutting the Niners. Okay. And so Pete and I are in agreement.
Coming to get you.
You and Shep did a nice job there. Well done. We'll come back. The future of Stephon Diggs in Minnesota will explain. Could they maybe trade the talented wide receiver? We'll get on that bandwagon. We'll get into that story. We'll do it next. Taz and Moose on a Thursday morning. CBS Sports Radio.